Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kit of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kit of products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The air cracks with energy as sparks rain down on a deserted military testing ground. A towering mechanoid stomps forward, cannon primed just as a crimson beast smashes through reinforced steel, eyes glowing with rage. One's a tyrannical warlord forged in metal and conquest. The other, a walking nuclear meltdown whose strength grows with every heartbeat. Steel meets fury. This week, it's the Decepticon Overlord Megatron versus the Gamma Power Juggernaut, the Red Hulk.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Who Would Win Masters. I am Sam Proof on all the socials, and today we are presenting another epic battle of Red Rage versus Gray Steel. It's Megatron versus Red Hulk. Our guest today is one of the opponents in from the California Wildfire charity event. He's a resident Viking, Ken Bjorn Turner. Welcome to the show. How are you doing? What's going on in your world?
Thanks, Sam. Thank you very much for inviting me. You guys inviting me back. I really appreciate it. It's going good. Yeah, working on different things and all that. And I'm really happy to be back because I have a little bit of a beef with Ray. Let him pass on some things. But, you know, realized I can't let him slip anymore. Viking can only take so much. He basically called me out in the charity event and called me disappointing in Vikings. And then on a Delvin Cox show, he said about I did not call out the best Vikings because he named Vikings from the football team. And I proceeded to say, you know, how could I not know what Fago is? And I realized something with Ray. I always thought that he was not allowed back in Detroit. And I don't think he could find Detroit because he said that I was – in the Midwest. I am from Philadelphia originally and live in Salem now and nowhere near the Midwest. So I think his geographic spatial relations there is not working too well. So it's not that he's not allowed in Detroit. I don't think he could find Detroit again. Just a hypothesis.
All right, cool. You are repping Megatron today. What made you choose that character?
He is one of the best villains from the 80s. He is a great leader, great tactician, just all in all, great villain. His issue is the people around him. So if it was a group battle, I wouldn't have chosen Megatron, but a one-on-one, he's got this.
All right, sounds good. It is, once again, time for the Tale of the Tape. Tonight's Tale of the Tape is brought to you by the Fraternal Organization of Gas Station Bathroom Cleaners, who want you to know that, hey, people got to clean those things, so maybe stop taking your doo-doos everywhere. It's gross, man. Just knock it off. Sinks are for washing hands. All right. In tonight's battle, we have power versus power with Megatron versus Red Hulk. Megatron is the evil leader of the transforming robots known as the Decepticons. Megatron first appeared in the Transformers cartoon in the debut episode in 1984. He was created by Takara Tomy in conjunction with Hasbro. Megatron is a giant fighting robot with a cannon on his arm, and also he can turn himself into a Walther P-38 pistol. He has been spending centuries locked in battle with the Autobots and their leader, Optimus Prime. When not attempting to conquer the planet, Megatron can be found in person at Universal Studios theme parks, where he is one of the greatest roast comedians of our time. And my friend, he's not really a doctor, does the sound for that bit, which is great. My cat agrees. In the other corner, we have Red Hulk, a.k.a. Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross. Ross had an obsession with the Incredible Hulk that bordered on madness. And, well, to beat a Hulk, you need to be a Hulk. So Ross got turned into the powerful Red Hulk with his own set of powers. The Red Hulk concept was created by Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness, and first appeared in the comic Hulk No. 1 in 2008. Red Hulk is similar to regular Hulk in size and strength, but Red Hulk retains his intellect and can use heat as a weapon. And the angrier he gets, the hotter he gets, which can cause a host of problems for everyone else around him. Now that we know about both of tonight's combatants, let's introduce your opponent. He's tall, he's loud, his shirt is even louder. He calls himself the Who Would Win Master, only because we wouldn't let him call himself the Who Would Win Daddy. Weird, right? It's Ray Stakanis! Ray, what do you make of this battle today?
I'm thrilled for this battle. And by the battle, I'm not even talking about Red Hulk versus Megatron. I'm talking about myself cleaning the clock of one Ken Bjorn Turner. He's been taking snipes and shots on social media for maybe a decade plus. And quite honestly, when he came on the show previously, it was a charity event. I was feeling charitable. But now he's in the ring for real, and I'm going to beat him pillar to post. I'm going to make all the Transformer and Megatron fans cry, and I'm going to do it at the expense of the Viking. And I could not be more thrilled to punish him today.
All right, that being said, it is time to transform into your rules for Who Would Win Masters in 1 minute.
Here are the rules of Who Would Win Masters in 1 minute. There will be 3 timed rounds with counterpoints allowed. 2, characters will have no prior knowledge of their opponent and no outside interference will be allowed. 3, keep the character in character. Outliers and crossovers will be given less weight. 4, battle can be won by death, knockout, battlefield removal, or incapacitation. And 5, after the battle, I will give my unofficial opinion as to who wins and why. However, I am just one voice in this. It will be up to all of you on our social media and our Patreon to make your voices heard as to who won.
All right, thanks, Sam. Ken, as the challenger, you are up first. You will have 3 minutes on the clock with your first point starting now.
Thank you very much. Point number one. Just go after the physicalities. Megatron is 83 feet tall of pure Cybertronian warrior and leader, a Viking, if you will. He has the strength to throw some of the biggest Autobots with ease, including Optimus Prime. He can easily lift an oil tanker and is pushed over the Washington Monument, weighs approximately 90,000 tons. He has tossed tanks out of his way as if they were just paper cups. He's a master of the Cybertronian martial arts and a weapons master. He has gained these skills during his years as a gladiator in the pits of Kion, which shows he has great durability. On the line of durability, he has survived massive explosions with only minimal damage, and some of the ones that were even more severe, when people thought he was dead, he came back, which shows a very strong durability and regenerative factor to him. In fact, he actually even fought Devastator to a standstill at one point. This gives you an idea of his power and durability and ball bearings. A genius level intellect, a genius tactician, even though he's been seen calling retreat, is a tactical move as he knows his own troops are broken. While he would continue the fight, he knows that he would suffer too many losses with his forces leaving. The fact that in the G1 cartoon, Shockwave himself follows Megatron shows his genius, because for Shockwave, he only does what's logical, and would be illogical to follow a lesser being. He has flight capabilities in his robot form that's giving him the high ground and forcing opponents to come to him. If the Red Hulk jumps to attack him, he will simply be making himself a target with a trajectory that Megatron would be able to figure out in seconds and fire. He also has quick reflexes, which greatly assist in his fusion cannon aiming. Strength, durability, genius intellect, expert tactician, reflexes, durability, low-level regeneration, and his overall size are all just pieces of his arsenal that will turn the Red Hulk into a red stain on the ground. And that is my point number one.
All right, Ray, it is time for Hulk's point number one. 3 minutes on the clock for you, starting now.
Uh-oh, we got a competitor who didn't use all his time, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm going to have to punish him while he learns some lessons. First off, you call Megatron a tactical genius. Why does he never win anything? Why does he lose every single battle? It seems like his tactics are terrible. But you know who a real tactical genius is? Thunderbolt Ross, a.k.a. the Red Hulk. He's a real tactical genius because the United States of America relies on him for their overseas operations. Or Ken Bjorn Turner, do you hate the men and women in service for the United States of America? Shame on you. Now, Red Hulk, we're going to talk about the basics to start this. The Red Hulk powers include, let's face it, super strength, super speed, extreme durability, a healing factor, mostly on the level of the Hulk, although the Hulk, when he gets angry, can get a higher strength at the end of the day. That's often how those battles go. But unlike the Hulk, Thunderbolt Ross retains his tactical genius and his sanity while in the Red Hulk form. So he's not going to get tricked by any tactics. Not that it would matter, because Megatron's tactics are awful. They are garbage. He gets overpowered by lesser beings in the Autobots repeatedly, and there's a reason why. Combat training. Thaddeus Ross is a highly trained military officer, meaning that he has been trained in many forms of martial arts and tactical genius as well, and he gets to keep that in his Hulk form, obviously. He reacts extremely well to speed blitzes. One of the few things I think that Megatron has is that he can move very, very fast when he wants to for his size. But Red Hulk has responded to speed blitzes from Captain Marvel, who I would argue is a more powerful character. So no problem at all with the speed right there. And She-Hulk has even said that Red Hulk is faster than her relative, the Incredible Hulk. And also size. I think you said that Megatron was somewhere in the 60-some-odd feet zone. That is not accurate, because even the Michael Bay version's only 41 feet tall. The comic book version's about 35 feet tall. So let's not go calling Megatron double the size that he actually is. But we got some strength thing to talk about. He's done big damage to Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, Wolverine. He punched off Wolverine's face. It was gross. He hurt Beta Ray Bill. He punched Agent Venom into a new zip code. He was able to speed rush She-Hulk, Thundra, and Valkyrie at the same time. He punched a comet and destroyed it. And he can also, he can't fly. It's true. But he can jump into space. He can jump into space. And he also has a special attack called the Thunderclap. That will affect Megatron, who does take up space. He once disrupted a tornado with Thunderclap. He once, and this is crazy to me, a vampire was in mist form and he Thunderclapped and it turned back into a vampire. How does that even work? And finally, durability. Red Hulk can take a beating when he has to. He's taken on full-on hits for Beta Ray Bill, She-Hulk, Namor, Thor, and the Hulk himself.
All right, Ken. As the challenger, you are able to do a counterpoint starting now.
All right. First, I will be the bigger person and admit I did misread the height of Megatron. I said 83. I meant 38 is what I have. Now, when Red Hulk is raging, the rage does take over Thaddeus. He cannot fully concentrate. But even so, he is used to tactician troops as a general. This is a one-on-one battle. That type of tactician is gone. He's not going to be able to say, oh, I want to go here and flank him. No, he doesn't have people to flank. He can't. It's one-on-one. Straightforward. He hasn't done that in a while, whereas Megatron spent millennia in the gladiatorial pits of Kion as a champion of the gladiatorial pits. So he is used to one-on-one. That is his bread and butter.
It's all right, that's time.
Sorry.
We'll come back for more after this break.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, we're back, and it is time for your point number two, gentlemen. Ken, you are up first. 3 minutes on the clock for Megatron, starting now.
Thank you very much. My point number two is some of his weapons. He has an energon-spiked flail that he's used to defeat Optimus Prime in formal one-on-one combat. Since Red Hulk is pretty much impervious to bludgeoning and energy attacks, he has a weakness to piercing. This is a spiked mace. It has points, so it means these spikes can get into his skin, can pierce him. And since there's a big difference, the ball is probably the same height as Red Hulk, it's going to be a full body blast with this. Spiked flail, not enough. He has also been known to throw saw blades out of his arm. He retracts his hand and has thrown saw blades out the size of cars. Again, if he releases these when the Hulk, Red Hulk, it gets close, he's not going to have time to dodge. If he does dodge when it's further back, it just leaves him open for a shot from his gun. But all that matters is that he gets close. Megatron's greatest and most powerful weapon is his fusion cannon. In his robot form, the arm-mounted fusion cannon is strong enough to blast through mountains, skyscrapers, as well as the potential to take out entire city blocks. This fusion cannon can single-shot Ironhide, one of the toughest of the G1 Autobots. Ironside, who saw centuries of battles, got his name because of his extremely durable trilithium steel armor. So, and he could use this weapon at range, but he uses has to use two hands for better accuracy. But even at point-blank range, he can use this. Megatron can control the power of the weapon as well, be it short, precise blasts, longer, more energetic range. And he can also tap into the interdimensional power of a black hole and pump power antimatter into this gun to make it much more powerful. But this is overshadowed by the power when he transforms into his alt form, the Walter P-38 handgun. In this form, he can self-fire, as seen in the G1 cartoons, but for better accuracy, he can usually have someone else wield him.
30 seconds remaining.
In his alt form, the power is concentrated down to a smaller beam, strong enough to cut as if it's a laser. The same power from his bigger size into a smaller beam, which really would be almost like a knife or sword. And that's my point number two.
All right, Ray, 3 minutes on the clock for Red Hulk, starting now.
Now, I appreciate you talking about some of the slashing, some of the cutting attacks. I mean, Red Hulk's been slashed in the eyeballs by Wolverine before, and he healed it almost immediately. He's had axes embedded in his chest, pulled them out, and then almost immediately used his healing factor to heal. So I appreciate that you think you could slash Red Hulk, but the answer is you cannot. And I'm very excited, let me just say right now, I am very excited that you leaned on that big old cannon and the energy blasts in your point number two, because I'm going to talk about Red Hulk's heat and abilities in this point. Because one thing that you got to know about Red Hulk is he can absorb energy. He went through a streak when he first got introduced that he was 1v1ing, slapping down characters you didn't think he could scale up to. And why did he do that? Because unbeknownst to us, but knownst to the writers, he absorbs the energy of people that he's in combat with. He did so to Sentry, very powerful Superman-esque character, right? He also did it to the cosmic power of the Silver Surfer, to the point where he just rolled off on Silver Surfer's board while Silver Surfer couldn't even fly anymore. And that's very, very important because how could he use this? He could depower the mechanical Megatron. He could absorb that energy from his being and turn him into a robot husk. Also, you mentioned Megatron uses energy-based projectile attacks. Okay, so, well, we absorb energy. Red Hulk has tanked Iron Man's repulsor attacks without any effort whatsoever. He's also, in fact, tanked Icarus, an empowered version of the Thing, MODOK, the Human Torch, and Cyclops' eye blasters. And you're not going to convince me that Megatron's most powerful, most used attack in the canon is more powerful than Cyclops' eye blasters. But let's also talk about the fact that Red Hulk emits gamma radiation that gets hotter as he gets angrier, and it burns whatever he touches at high levels. It makes it look like at times that Thunderbolt Ross, Red Hulk, is on fire. He had a fight with the Hulk where he got so hot, he turned sand into glass with the heat. He once burned off of Spider-Man's webs, burned them off of him. He heated his thumbs. This is relevant. He heated his thumbs super hot and drove them into Colossus's eye sockets, because that's what he does against metal beings. That's what he's going to do against Megatron. I know one thing about electronics. I once accidentally had a robot with my cell phone in it, and I put it into one of those heated units, right? And it didn't work anymore. If electronics get too hot, they stop working. He also has corrosive blood. Bad for robots. Could he absorb Megatron's life force? That's basically energy. Well, I'll tell you right now, folks, he did it to the Incredible Hulk. Why not Megatron 2?
All right, Ken, you have time before we move on. Starting now.
It's really cute that you think Iron Man's blasts are the same level as Megatron's gun. Were any of those people shooting antimatter and power from a black hole? I don't think so. Maybe closest you'll get is Cyclops' glass blast because it's from an interdimensional power source. But that's everybody else. No. And is okay, so he's going to stick his thumbs in where? His thumbs are how big are the Hulk's thumbs compared to a 38-foot Megatron? So he's going to pockmark his leg. He gets up to his face. Megatron's just going to pick him up, throw him off his face, and shoot him as he's thrown. Now, that's the other thing is the Hulk can absorb, Red Hulk can absorb power, yes, but he has a limit to where he gets exhausted from absorbing it. I've read that if he absorbs too much, it can shut him down. If he gets too hot, then he can't function as well. So,
all right, that is that's the timer. All right, great. We will be back to absorb more points after this break. All right, welcome back, Ken. It is time for our third and final point. You have 3 minutes on the clock for Megatron, starting now.
Megatron is a charismatic and frightening leader, able to keep even the largest and most brutal of Decepticons in line, like the Predacons who form into Predaking. And even the city-sized Trypticon bows before him. Before all that, Megatron was known as Megatronus, a gladiator of Kion. He spent millions of years fighting and winning one-on-one battles, one against many battles. He spent his time honing his battle skills, his tactics skills, and knowledge, earning the status as undefeated champion of the Pits of Kion. He continues to hone these skills and channels his rage against opponents after opponent until he rose up as now is the Decepticon leader and strode out to start the great war that has been going on for millennia. His genius and charismatic and tactical genius gives him an insight into opponents. By observing them, he knows what they're going to do. Charisma plays into another ability. Megatron has very low level mind control influence over people. He did it with the Dinobots when he knew about them, their weaknesses. He's done it against Optimus Prime because he knows how Optimus Prime is and used some of that against him. Within studying Red Hulk and his tactics in fighting, he's going to figure out that he is not the mindless brute, that he still has some intelligence there, but is still being affected by the rage of the Red Hulk. So he's going to use that to already take the franticness of Ross's mind to convince him that Megatron is an ally and they should join up, and thus making Thaddeus possibly think about leaving. If that doesn't work, once he gets him close enough and his guard down, he's just going to again unload with his full power of the antimatter and negative energy, which is another thing that Red Hulk is very susceptible to, negative energy. Antimatter, negative. Black hole, negative. That's all he can. He can power that up and shoot and just drain his own supply of energy into the Red Hulk of negative energy, exhaust him, and turn him back to Thaddeus, or knock him out with a barrage.
30 seconds remaining.
So with his size, strength, agility, powerful weapons, Megatron's charismatic ways, he will beat down the Hulk, Red Hulk. And that's my point number three.
All right, Ray, it is time for your third and final point. You have 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
I mean, I understand why they depict it sometimes that his cannon, like, comes from a black hole. That's not really what's good. He's firing a big old laser beam. I've seen this show enough times, and I've seen this laser beam hit members of the Autobots before and doesn't, like, punch holes through them. They just sort of go, whoa, and then they, like, fall down. It's not exactly as powerful as you're depicting it. And you talk about low-level mind control? He was able to manipulate the Dinobots. Let's not pretend he's Charles Xavier over here. What are we talking about? I could low-level manipulate the auto or the Dinobots. They're dumb. That's their entire point. And yes, he has a lifetime of experience with Optimus Prime. He knows how to press his buttons. He understands what he's into. This is not the same as seeing Red Hulk for the first time on a battlefield and getting whooped. And I have to ask the question, what big wins does Megatron actually have? What does he actually have? He defeated a weakened Optimus Prime who was on his way to become Rodimus Prime, and he still didn't even get the Matrix of Leadership. So, like, I'm thinking about the cartoon version here. What has Megatron actually done? He can't even take over the Earth, and he has the vastly superior force when compared to the Autobots. So, no, Megatron does not have it at the end of the day. My belief is that Megatron's going to try to think this through. He's going to grab Red Hulk and try to fly him up into space. But unfortunately, Red Hulk fights just fine in space. Megatron will underestimate Red Hulk as a living, breathing creature, as he does to other mortal creatures. Thor tried to do that same move to Megatron, and it didn't work there either. But let's talk about some of the big wins of Red Hulk, because he beat the Juggernaut. He overpowered Sentry. I mentioned that before. But did I also mention that he also beat all the Avengers in that same fight by himself? That was Hulk Smash Avengers number 5, if you want to go read about it. Pretty phenomenal. He beat the Abomination, sure. He beat the Punisher while the Punisher was wearing an Iron Man suit, relatively on par with firepower, I would have to believe, to a character like Megatron. But what I thought was even more interesting is at one point Red Hulk was depowered down to Thunderbolt Ross, and he beat the Punisher in a physical matchup without any of his powers. That is a crazy thing to think of, somebody who could out martial arts, out hand to hand the Punisher with no superpowers. But not just that, he was able to materialize and then one-shot KO the Watcher. The Watcher is a character who you shouldn't even be able to mess with. But that depowering that he's able to do even worked at a character like the Watcher. Now, last couple things here. He overpowered the Hulk, and I mentioned he beat Thor in space. How did he do it? He grabbed Mjolnir in zero gravity and started hammering on him. Megatron is too arrogant. Thunderbolt Ross will absolutely take advantage.
All right, gentlemen, well done. This was a literally heated battle, and I think it's clear in hand-to-hand combat, Red Hulk would take it. In a ranged battle from the sky, Megatron has a clear advantage. The argument that Megatron can take the power of a black hole is really compelling tidbit that was a complete surprise. But if that is not Megatron's go-to move, he just may not get the second chance to activate it when facing off with an opponent that goes from zero to solar flare in the blink of an eye. So for this battle, I am siding with Ray and Red Hulk. Of course, I am just one voice in this world.
I mean,
yep.
Correctly.
You can make your voices heard over on our Patreon poll. So please let us know what you think. Ken, thank you. You did a great job. Use your time better next time, because there will be, I'm sure. You took the blank of your time and put it to the end of your counterpoint. Just use it all up front. You did great, though.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Go on.
I may have lost this battle, but there's still more wars to come.
All right. Ken, can people find you out on social media? Do you want to put that out there?
Yep. Bjorn the Viking, and pretty much any social media, if you see it's Bjorn the Viking, it's probably me. Twitter, Blue Sky, Facebook, Threads, those are the four ones I usually tool around on. Bjorn the Viking. That's B-E-O-R-N.
Awesome. All right, Ray, congratulations, potentially. I mean, it's only my opinion, my voice, though. Traditionally, everyone has voted my way. So potentially, congratulations on this win. We'll see what the people say. Any final thoughts?
No, I would really, no, of course I have final thoughts, Sam Proof. What are we talking about right here? I was thrilled to do this battle. We had a lot of different options for going up against Megatron. And we had some different ones that we were kind of considering between. I'll just say it right now. We also thought about doing Megatron versus Carnage, which I think would have been a super interesting battle against the symbiote. We also thought about Megatron versus Doctor Strange, but we felt that Megatron didn't really have the magical defenses necessary to hang in that battle. So we came down on Megatron versus Red Hulk. Red Hulk, what? He was just in a movie this year. I mean, people know who this guy is. And as soon as I saw it on paper, I said, these two seem similar in a lot of regards. And I'm so glad that I ended up on the side with the regeneration, the healing factor, the energy absorption, and the energy shutdown of his opponents. I'm so glad I ended up on the side with Red Hulk. As much as I love Megatron, this is a guy who, in theory, could lose to King Kong. So I don't want people at home to think that Megatron was going to win this battle. Now, you're all going to still vote. Obviously, you're going to go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and cast your vote for Red Hulk. I know you feel bad for Ken coming in to the Lion's Den as a Viking, where traditionally lions destroy Vikings over and over and over again on their way to the playoffs and beyond. The point I'm trying to make is I want this feud with Ken Bjorn Turner to be squashed. I want to bury this feud the same way The Undertaker buried Yokozuna in a casket match. That's what I want to see. I will extend the olive branch unless the people at home somehow vote for Ken, which I don't think is likely. But I will say right now, Ken, you're okay in my book. It takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of gumption to come in here and do what you just did. And it takes a lot of mortalness. It takes a lot of humanity to lose in such spectacular fashion. So thank you for coming in and being a part of the show and being another notch in the streak. Thank you.
Wow. All right, gentlemen, thank you both for your contribution. Oh, Ken has a final thought on your final thought.
I will battle you anytime, Ray. And that's meant as a compliment.
Awesome.
Well, I hope next time it'll be a battle.
Ouch. All right, the gauntlet has been thrown and rethrown. Thank you for joining us, guys. Thanks for listening. And absolutely, make your voices heard on our social media and Patreon. You can keep the debate going if these guys don't at Who Would Win Show on Facebook and Threads, as well as on our Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Tune in next week as Ray and I go over your votes and comments and reviews to wrap up this battle. And if you think you've got what it takes to take over Ken's seat as part of Who Would Win Masters, record a 1-minute video demo of yourself and send it in to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, maybe you'll be sitting in that challenger's chair next time for Who Would Win Masters. I am Sam Proof. Stay strong.
This is Ray back one more time, and there is a 1-in-2 chance that I'm very happy with the results of this past episode. One more reminder that if you'd like to join in with the Legion of Audience, you can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and support what we do. That's it. That's the message. Time to start my research on next week's battle. I'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.
Do you want to wow party guests with your expansive knowledge of folklore and weird historical tales? Or maybe scare your friends with some good old-fashioned ghost stories? If so, you're in the right place.
Welcome, everybody, to your new favorite spooky podcast, Live, Laugh, Lore. I'm Caroline, and this is my partner in crime and all things creepy, Emily. Together, we're your guides through the world of the weird, the wacky, and the downright terrifying.
Each week, we'll take you on a wild ride through haunted houses, ancient myths, and urban legends that'll make your skin crawl.
Plus, we add our own unhinged commentary to keep you laughing through each spine-tingling tale. So, whether you're a skeptic or a believer, tune in to Live, Laugh, Lore every Thursday for a podcast that's as chilling as it is hilarious.
Because who says you can't giggle at a ghost or chuckle at a chupacabra? So go ahead and subscribe and give us a listen today wherever you get your podcasts. You won't want to miss a single episode.
Grab a drink, get cozy, and let's get spooky. Bye! Bye.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with eight vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.